What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. This is number 207, SPATS, CEUs on the Beach. We're talking with Jeff Darr, one of the coordinators for the South Padre Athletic Training Seminar that is there on South Padre Island. And I am very lucky to be able to broadcast this upcoming summer. So we're going to be live at SPATS. I'll be able to interview the guests, record the sessions, and release those as part of the podcast. And then also my friend Bubba, he's going to be here in just a little bit to join our conversation. He's going to be speaking, so we're going to be kind of tag-teaming the podcast there over the summer. So I'm really looking forward to it. I have not been to SPATS yet. So,
come on, Jeremy.
What was that?
I said, come on, Jeremy.
Well, I'm coming. Well, the thing is we have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And so it's kind of hard for the last, 6 years to break free and go to a conference, because then you have to travel down there, stay in a hotel with a newborn.
Beach isn't the best place for an infant.
No, not typically. Not typically. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I am Jeremy Jackson, the host. My kids are gone because we were on activity day today. We have a blacklight pep rally coming up. So hopefully I'm hiding enough so that those injuries that come from kids walking around in blacklight don't affect me. But we'll see. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/SPATS, SPATS. sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/SPATS, SPATS is where you'll find this episode. Once it's published on the podcast, you'll find some links and ways to contact Jeff and find out more and how to register and things like that. But how we like to start off is, Jeff, why don't you tell us your athletic trainer story?
Well, I am currently employed at PSJA North High School. That's Far San Juan Alamo Independent School District. Down in deep South Texas. I've been here 15 years at this same school. Spent 5 years in Austin ISD at Albert Sidney Johnston High School. And before that, I'm originally from Arkansas, went to Arkansas State University. That's pretty much it. Worked with many sports up there, basketball, football, track, and I am about 10 years away from retirement. So,
all right. So what brought you over here from Arkansas?
Well, the job, basically. I mean, back in the mid 90s, Texas was the place to be for athletic trainers. A lot of the rest of the country didn't have the jobs available. So I kind of lucked into the job at Austin ISD, moved to Austin, was there for 5 years. And there was a change in, I guess, basically the most diplomatic way to put it is I got a new boss, and I decided it was time for me to move on. And I kind of landed this job down here in the Valley, and I love it down here. So been here ever since, and I'll probably be at the same school until I retire. So I'm looking at being at North for probably 25 years when I retire. So,
gotcha. Very cool. All right. So we are talking about SPATS, South Padre Athletic Trainer Seminar. It's going to be this summer. It's been several summers, but just talk about SPATS in general, and then we'll have some more questions about that.
Well, I mean, this is our 16th year for SPATS. Some of the older trainers who've been around, there was another seminar before SPATS called STATS, STATS. Once STATS kind of went away and we had a little 1 year off, I guess there was nothing down here for a year. And that was, I believe, 2000. And then in 2001, if you want a little quick history, some athletic trainers down here contacted a doctor, Kim Reynolds, James McGuire, and Joe Ramos. Got together with one of our doctors who's no longer down here, but he basically fronted the money and to start up a new seminar. And SPATS was born. The Valley Athletic Trainers Association was born that year, 2001. And we've just kind of started growing from there. I think we had about 100 people come the first year. That was actually my first year in the Valley. Or it was before my first year. I started in August of 2001 down here. So I think they had about 100 people. I came on board maybe the third year, started helping out, and I've just been with it ever since. So this is probably about my 13th year working with Spats.
Right. So you said when it started out with about 100 people, how many people are you expecting this year, or how many people were there last year?
Well, last year we had about 350 people paid. You know, we had, we had 14 or 15 vendors come down. And we're hopefully this year, and I can get into it more a little later, but we're going to have a few more EBP hours, and that seemed to be a very big hit last year. We had two last year. We're going to try to have at least four this year. Obviously, our applications are still pending, but we don't anticipate any problems.
All right. So
hopefully 350 plus.
Okay. You know? And then how big do you think that this conference could be? Is that somewhere close to the max?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of discussion down here of how big do we want it to be? Where obviously we have the venue, the South Padre Island Convention Center, so there's tons of room for growth. And, you know, we kind of just go with the flow. Some years, depending on like a couple of years ago or a few years ago when SWATA was in Little Rock, Arkansas, obviously our attendance, we got a big bump in attendance that year. We had that year we had 380 paid, you know, so it depends on when things, what's going on. Next year, we're anticipating a little drop off because of NATA being in Houston. So we just kind of try to gauge it on that. That being said, we have our regulars that come every year. I think the lowest number we've had in the last probably 10 years is 250. So there's not a huge swing as far as when we have drop off. So, and that was when NATA was in San Antonio. So that's the kind of things we look at when we're planning.
Gotcha. All right. So I know that several people here, like Jesse Lopez or Michelle Nettles, they work here in the district with me, and they go quite often and they really enjoy Spats. But what is your role? You said you've been helping out with Spats for about 13 years. What is your role and title and involvement with the?
Well, basically we have the Valley Athletic Trainers Association has several committees, Spats being one of those committees. And I'm basically the chairperson of that committee. So there are seven people, there's six people on that committee, and basically we have them divided up. I'm the chairperson, so I kind of, I guess, coordinate everything, and I handle a lot of the, I handle the contracts with the convention centers, the hotels, the social, all the things that need a signature. I usually do that. We have... I'll just go down my list. We have Natalie Herrera handles the speakers in the program. We have Stephanie Becker from Donna High School, who handles the continuing education, and she deals directly with the BOC, trying to make sure we're accredited. We're also going to get accredited with the TPTA for any PTs that want to come down. Marie Thompson from La Jolla High School handles registration on site. So she's the one you'll talk to when you walk up and check in and all that, and get your bag and t-shirt, all that kind of stuff. Kurt Flugel from McAllen Memorial High School handles the getting the t-shirts and designing them and all that kind of stuff. Then Bob Aparicio from Mission High School handles my vendors. He handles all that, gets those guys in and takes care of them. And then we have Susan Detweiler handles all the financials. She's also the treasurer for the association, but we put her on the committee because she writes all the checks and has the association's debit card and all that kind of stuff. So she's handles all the bills and the invoices and things like that. And then the last one is, she's not officially on the committee, but she helps us out tremendously by getting the door prizes from the island. So is Taria Mitchell, who is the athletic trainer over Port Isabel. And she gets all our door prizes and, deals with the local people and getting fishing trips and dolphin watch cruises and things like that for door prizes. Jet ski rentals, parasailing rentals, that kind of stuff.
All right, so all that stuff is just given away. Is that something that, say I win a dolphin watch, is that something that I can do on that trip, or is something I have to come back for?
No, what we do is when we give it as a door prize, it's basically just like a certificate. And you could, if you were going to come back and say, I'm wanting to say that none of those have they might have a 1 year cutoff or something, but we encourage people to use them as quickly as they can, you know what I mean? But obviously some people if they want to come back or they're going to spend a few extra days at the island, they can use it on a different, it's not a set date.
All right. So, you were kind of talking about, you're the chairperson. You're pretty much in charge of the SPATS, right? You're kind of the lead guy.
Yeah, I guess I'm the one, like I said, when we do contracts and things, I'm the one that signs all of them. Right. So we have a contract with the convention center and the hotels and, that, you know, all the insurance that we have to have. And so I pretty much handle all that stuff.
All right, so being in a leadership role in athletic training, talk about that a little bit as you're kind of coordinating these things and kind of, I guess, trying to keep tabs on people and that they're doing their tasks. Talk to me just a little about the leadership role in SPATS.
Well, I mean, it's like any other, you know, you have a group of people. I don't necessarily consider myself these people under me, if that makes sense. I mean, we collaborate with each other. I mean, obviously I couldn't do anything without them, and everybody has their role on the committee. I guess I'm just more of the person. I make several trips over to the island just specifically for that. And 2 weeks ago I was over there and I met with my contacts at the convention center, and just to make sure that everything is in place. We opened up our registration last night. A lot of people have been calling, and there's, you know, school districts give deadlines and things like that. And so it's kind of one of those things. I don't like doing things too quickly because of the things that are going on with the BOC. But, I did have to go in, and I missed a couple of things on my end and had to change it. But it's just like any other leadership role. I mean, whether it's at school or, you know, whether you're dealing with an assistant or you're dealing with a co-trainer or a coach or whatever. I mean, you know, it's just making sure that you're organized and you have all the details.
Gotcha. All right. So what have historically been some of the more popular set? Well, actually, I've never been there. So talk to me a little bit about this. Is it one large session? Is it several different sessions like you would have at, you know, say SWATA? What's it look like?
Right. Well, basically, it's one big general session. Historically, we've had 15 speakers. So we basically, in a nutshell, have given 15 hours of credit. Popular stuff the last few years, one of the doctors down here has been doing live dissections. They would bring a cadaver in, knee, shoulder, hand and wrist, that kind of stuff. That's always been a real popular one. Last year we did the evidence-based practice. We did two sessions of that, and it was pretty much standing room only. The room that we have used in the past got a little bit small. So we're basically this year going to move to a bigger space in the convention center because we're going to add more EVP sessions. So, and I know the certified people, really want to get into those EVP sessions, because of that, you know, what they have to do. So, basically it's a lecture style. Every once in a while we have a speaker that'll try to do some hands-on stuff. But what we found is, even though we're a fairly large convention, doing breakout sessions and things, the logistics were just too overwhelming, I guess is the best way to put it. And so we just decided to stick with the lecture format, and it's worked out well for us.
All right. So the schedule is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
Correct. June 17th, 18th, and 19th.
All right. So if it's roughly 15 hours, how does that schedule look like? Is it, you know, Friday night okay. and then Saturday day, Sunday morning?
Right. The way I kind of describe it, and this is, we've always done spats this way. Pretty much Friday, you get slammed. I mean, we do, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Usually have around 8 speakers on Friday. We gotcha. Start it at, we start up at 8 in the morning on Friday, and we usually end up around 5:30 in the afternoon. Friday night, we have our social, which is always a big hit. We used to have it at Louie's Backyard, but we've been having it the last couple of years at the Schlitterbahn Resort. So we do that on Friday night. That's a complimentary thing that we provide, you know, and have a DJ or a band or whatever, and have a complimentary drinks. We have a little kind of more like a finger foods buffet. It's not really a sit down meal or anything like that. Schlitterbahn does a good job on that. And then on Saturday, start up again at 8 o'clock, but we usually try to get done around 1:30 in the afternoon. You know, it is South Padre Island. It's the middle of the summer. And I just, we've never saw a need to keep people there all day on Saturday. And so we'll have on Saturday, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, either 4 or 5 speakers on Saturday. And then we'll cut people loose and let people go do their thing, you know, enjoy South Padre Island. And then on Saturday afternoon. And then on Sunday, we're usually done by 11:30 in the morning. We only have 2 or 3 speakers on Sunday mornings. Everybody's trying, a lot of people are trying to check out and get gone and get on the road and things like that. So we're usually done by noon on Sunday.
All right. Sounds like a pretty favorable schedule. It's definitely something I will be looking into as my kids get a little older. And it's, you know, this obviously being my first year and for broadcasting. So it's going to be a good bit of work on my end. And I didn't want to have to worry about like having to try and rush back to the hotel to help my wife out. And she was like, you know, we'll just wait. And maybe next year we can come with you. But all right. So you said the cadavers were something that was very, very popular, right? Do you have that lined up again this year?
We do not. The doctor that does that is Dr. Sander from here in I'll take that back. I wish I had Natalie here. She's the one that could tell me. We may have because we've got Dr. Schmidt from San Antonio is coming in to speak on some stuff on the knee. And I'm wanting to say Natalie told me he may have something lined up for that, but I better not say yes, we're going to do it. Dr. Sander from here in McAllen, he's the one that's always kind of set that up. We just basically ask him if he'll do it, and he takes care of getting all the stuff. But this year, right now, as far as I know, we're not going to have that.
All right.
But it is popular when we do it.
All right. So what are some of the topics that you guys have kind of lined up so far?
Okay. So we've got, so just a real quick, I mean, as far as the schedule goes, I know a lot of the certified people are aware of the BOC's new guidelines as far as being an accredited provider for CEUs. And we have been working. That's why we're kind of really late in opening up our registration, because we've been working on that. And we actually submitted it, and they kicked several of them back, and they actually kicked some of them out. We had to go out and find some new speakers. But just some of the speakers we have lined up that are going to be, that I know are going to be there. We've got Matthew Coots, is going to speak on overtraining and overtraining risk management of this multi-sport athlete. We've got,
you know, that's a topic I'm pretty interested in hearing, because I've talked several times on here about overuse and that kind of thing. And I just saw somebody in the Facebook group talking about a kid came in. Yeah, you know, I'm hurting. Well, it's because I'm playing softball and soccer and track all at the same time.
Right.
Well, yeah. So that's good.
That's going to be, that's going to be a good topic, I think, too. I mean, it's the same. I think it's the same everywhere. You know, I'm dealing at my school with a lot of kids that on my, like soccer and baseball, where they play outside of school, even during the season. And so they'll do a workout or practice, and then they go play two games on their own. And then they play a game for the school on Tuesday night. And then they got another game on their own on Wednesday. And on Saturday and Sunday, they play games. And then they come in on Monday, and they're, oh, my knees hurt, and this hurts. And so I think we all deal with that. So, I think that's going to be a great topic myself. We've got a good one. It's going to be actually, this one is going to be, it's T. Pepper Burris, who is an athletic trainer with the Green Bay Packers. And he's actually going to be doing a Skype lecture for us. We've already talked to our audiovisual guy, and they're going to set up a Skype session where it's going to be interactive, where people can ask questions and stuff. But he's going to be doing one on cervical spine injuries, and his topic is caring for the suspected cervical spine, nuts, bolts, screws, and tools. Are you ready? So that's going to be different for us to have that. He couldn't actually make it down, but he said he's done this before, and so we're going to give it a shot.
Week earlier, we talked to Dr. Mark Merrick. He's the president of the Katie.
Yeah, he's coming down.
Yeah, he said he's been down most
of the year.
He
comes almost every year.
Yeah.
We love Dr. Merrick, and if he'll come down, we'll have him on our schedule every year.
So he's one of the speakers?
Yes, he is. He's going to speak on his topic is cryotherapy dead, an examination of the hype, evidence, and underlying physiology of acute injury management.
All right.
And he's actually applying to be an EBP session. We got Dr. Schmidt, who works with the San Antonio Spurs, coming down, talking on anterior lateral ligament of the knee. I know you'd mentioned Bubba. Is going to be talking about looking at new ways to look at ACL rehab, which is, you know, and it's one of those things, everybody talks about ACL and, you know, why are you doing another ACL? And I think, you know, there's always room to learn something new, even in an old thing like ACL. And it's like his title is a new way to look at an old issue. A paradigm shift in ACL rehabilitation. So that's going to be his topic. Missy Frazier used to be at Texas A&M Kingsville. She's over now in North Carolina, I believe, but she's going to come in and do some concussion and head injury topic. We've got Brian Boyles White, he's spoken with us before, injury prevention through conditioning. How are we conditioning our athletes? Let's see. Brian Colomb, do we have to listen to our patients using patient-related outcomes in athletic training? We've got Andrew Cage coming in. His topic is going to be the glass cannon conundrum, managing high talent, high maintenance athletes, which I think might be an interesting topic to a lot of people.
Yeah, because, you know, you see a lot of us talking about, oh my goodness, this kid keeps coming in.
And dealing with their parents and things like that.
Yes.
I don't want to say too much on that. Somebody might be watching.
All right,
we have a pretty well-rounded. We try to address a lot of different topics. And that's as far as our general session. That's going to be the topics that we have, you know, you have for CEUs.
All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the leadership and organization part of it. For you as the chairperson, how much time do you think out of your day or out of your week you devote to the conference as a whole?
Too much. We start planning for spats in the July after. So in July 2016, we'll start planning for the next spats. And there's usually something every day going on. I mean, and I can't even just put it on me. I know I can't say enough about Stephanie and Natalie have kind of really handled this BOC transition, because we got audited a couple of years ago and it kind of turned out we were doing everything wrong. And we've really had to hustle to turn it around. And so it's not just me, it's everybody's putting in the time. And that's the only way this thing would get put on, you know? And lucky for me, I don't have to worry about those things because I know that they're going to handle it.
All right, so what are some of the benefits for you being involved as a leader?
Some of the benefits?
Mm-hmm.
I get a free hotel room. It's bats. I mean, I don't have to pay for my registration. Needless to say, I don't know, I just enjoy doing it. It for me personally, it's been more of a networking thing. I've met a lot of people and became friends with a lot of people that I probably would not have had the opportunity to meet and become closer to as a result of SPACs. I know a lot of people know Spanky Stevens, the executive director of the association, state association, but I consider him, a friend of mine now, more than just somebody that I know who he is. So, and that's kind of, for me, that's more of, I guess, the benefit is the networking part of it.
All right. And then what if someone is looking to be involved with SPATs? Where is there a need?
Every once in a while you have people that say, I just can't do this anymore. We basically have the committee is, like I said earlier, the committee's divided up. The duties are divided up within the committee. So we pretty much have everything covered. And it boils down to when there is an opening or when something comes up that we need to have somebody on the committee, it's, you kind of just ask around and see. Like I've told people, we're just a bunch of high school athletic trainers and putting on a pretty intense seminar. I mean, SPATS is pretty well known across the state of Texas. When you start having 300 plus people coming down, it's a pretty big deal. So I usually don't have trouble getting people to help. Right, like right now today, as it sits, we have all the help we need. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a, as the needs arise, we try to fill that need. Right now, there's not really a need,
All right. So I run the website for Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society for GHATS. And, one of the things that the reason I signed up for doing the website is because I was like, well, I won't have to go to the meetings. I can just hit the computer at the school and do that. And I could do that. And I've done that, where I don't go to the meetings and they just send me the stuff that they need updated. But like you said, the best part of being involved in that is I really know those people that I'm in those meetings
yes.
with that were really working through stuff that were,
right.
just kind of hanging out. And so the networking and getting to know your colleagues
yes.
is probably the best part. I mean, yes, you're having to deal with people and sometimes, people are late or sometimes people butt heads, but you're
right.
adults, you figure out how to kind of work through things. And as long as you're working forward towards a goal, towards, something together, then it's going
right.
to end up working out. But what about these people who, like, for a while I was like, no, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to do anything at GHATS. I'll just take my kids to the workshop and then that's it. I'll pay on mm-hmm. at the last minute. I'll pay there on the day. What are some words that you might have to encourage someone to be involved with their local organization?
I can't say enough about the people that are involved down here in the Valley Athletic Trainers Association. We do a lot of stuff besides SPATS, and that would be for another show, I guess. But, one of the things that we've run into down here is you have a few people doing a lot of stuff, And it's not, and I'm sure you guys run into that as well. You know, I'll do it and I'll do it. I think that just being involved in your local organization does nothing but help the image of athletic trainers in your area. Just down here in the Valley, the Athletic Trainers Association down here, they get together and do water station for a 10K or the McAllen Marathon or something like that, or the Edinburgh 10K. They do fill the helmet drive for Gridiron Heroes during football playoff season. Those are things that are where you're in the public eye, you know? And so it's the problem with having a few people doing a lot of stuff is that those few people are going to tend to get burnt out real quick because there's just so much to do. And so, it's nothing but beneficial. I mean, everybody's busy. That's what I've always said. We're all busy. We all have soccer, basketball, and football, and baseball, and softball, and track, and wrestling, and powerlifting, and we all have that. So it does take a little bit. I know you and your dealings with doing the podcast and everything is a big time commitment. And so it takes a person that's willing to do that. But to me, the more the merrier, you know?
All right. So if someone wanted to get involved on a really small level, like I said, I just did the website because I was like, well, this is something really small, something that I can do without a whole lot of extra time taken away. What are some of the small things that somebody might be able to do in their local organization? So just as an example, in your organization, you know, would it help if someone was saying, okay, well, I'll make 5 phone calls a day, or I'll be in charge of printing, or I'll be in charge of emails or something like that?
Right. Well, just even like the events that we put on. We've got our next event coming up for our association is our student trainer workshop. And we have several people that, you know, that's a whole another set of people that handle that. There's some people that help with the student trainer workshop that are also helping with SPATS that are also on the board of directors of the association. So you have a lot of overlap there, but like we have our student trainer workshop, even just bringing your kids, you know, is a help. They've really grown it. I think last year they had 125 kids, which is a pretty good number for down here in the Rio Grande Valley. We have like I was talking before, we have the 10K where it's just a Saturday morning. You go out and do a water station. In the past, we did just showing up to do those events. You don't really have to make a phone call. There are people that are setting that up, but a lot of times there's a call for hey, come out and help or things like that. I know at SPATS, our association has a booth, and they kind of, hey, we need people to kind of man the booth over the weekend. So doing things like that. There's always something to do in the association, as you well know.
Right. And, you know, we kind of have the same thing is, you know, that we got several different things going on and we're like, well, we need somebody that'll do this. And it seems like the same people, okay, well, I can do it as well. I can do that also.
Right.
And, you know, if we just had, you know, another 5 or 10 people, then that lessens the load for everybody. And so if we want to make a difference, here we are in National Athletic Training Month. We're talking about promoting athletic training and as a profession and doing good for our athletes. Part of that is taking care of our own by just being involved, like, you know, you guys are doing here as you're logged in, listening to the live talks about how to be a better athletic trainer, or as, you know, me and Jeff are here talking about the workshops that are coming up, or about leadership or being in the organization. So be
right.
Involved.
I would just say, and I think down here in the Rio Grande Valley, we have, I'm just a ballpark. We probably have 100 athletic trainers down here in the 4 county area. And right now we have, I think I'm wanting to say and this is all just off the top of my head, I don't know the exact numbers, but I think we have like 70 something, like 71 or 72 members of our association, which is a decent number, you know, that's seven, you know, three quarters, I guess. But there's always room for improvement. The athletic trainers we have down here are all great. I mean, we're doing something new this year in SPATS. We're going to offer the advanced life-saving course that everybody has to have now, the CPR AD, the basic life support. And we've never done that before. And so I made a couple of phone calls to a couple of guys down in Brownsville and Harlingen, and they're going to teach the class for us. I mean, it's not like, oh, no, I can't do that. Everybody wants to help out, you know. And sometimes as an association, we may need to do a better job of drawing those people in, you know?
Yeah.
It goes both ways. The association and the people running it have to be able to, entice those people, make it worth their while. I'm not saying you're going to pay them or whatever, but it does, you know, people want to see what they're getting out of the work they're putting in, you know?
Definitely. I talked just briefly about the thing we have coming up March 31st this year. That's our mass CPR training. And that's where we have, right, you know, 700 freshmen. I think it's actually 736 freshman kids this year that'll come through and do CPR training. But right, I have a physical therapist from Memorial Hermann. I have some people from Bayshore. I have, you know, lots of different community people coming in. You know, I have the city of Pasadena lifeguard people coming in to right, talk with kids about careers and that kind of thing. And almost everybody has been like, yes, I'll help, but I had to reach out and say, hey, will you help? You know,
right.
And so, you know, I completely agree. We have to be able to reach out and intentionally right, say, hey, I need some help. Can you help? Because
right,
when we're teaching CPR, I tell my kids, hey, I need somebody to go pick up those papers, and nobody does it. Okay, really?
Right.
That's exactly why when you're doing CPR, you say, hey, you in the black shirt, call 911.
Right.
Because that's specifically right, calling one person out, and then they have to either accept it or deny the call. So,
well, and it goes back to you were talking about the leadership or being the chairperson of the committee, I guess. And it, you know, you got to be somewhat organized. If you're asking somebody to help you, if they come and say, yeah, I'll help, and then they show up and you're totally disorganized and nothing's ready, and those people are going to be sitting there going, wait, this is a waste of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to basically turn them off from ever wanting to help again.
Yes.
And so like I said, it goes both ways. And so the people that are setting up these events and things have to be somewhat organized about it. And you know, and then you're going to get people, if they walk in and say, yeah, here's your stuff, I want you to be right here and do this, they're going to be okay with that, you know?
All right. So we kind of got away from SPATS a little bit. In the future, what do you hope to see for SPATS?
Oh, man. Well, we always want it to grow. We talk about it in our committee, and we don't want it to get smaller, I guess you could say. I mean, we always want it to be relevant. This year, I talked about this year so the actual SPATS is going to be on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That Thursday before SPAT starts, we're going to be doing the CPR. That's new for us. I reached out to the two guys that are going to teach it. And we basically kind of capped it off at 20 people. So the first 20 people that register are going to be the only 20 that get to do that. But that's more because we've never done it. We don't know how the logistics are going to work out. And we just wanted to get it with a small group. The other thing we're doing this year that's going to be different, this came up after we had a speaker last year who spoke on, his topic was directed towards new college graduates making the transition from your senior year of college to your first year of professionalism, being a professional. And what happened was, and we do read all the evaluations, and what happened was in the evaluations, it came over and over and over, was that's a great topic, but it's not relevant to 80% of the people that are here, because we've all been an athletic trainer for 8, 9, 10 years. So what we decided to do this year, we've got an athletic trainer, Joe Ramos, at McAllen High School. I reached out to him, and he came on board, and we're going to be doing like a 3-hour session just for college students. And we're going to have them in a separate area. We got a separate room, and he's putting together a little 3-hour program for them. Again, it's only 3 hours because, one, we've never done it before, and we don't know how it's going to play out. And I didn't want to block off a whole day for that and then just kind of run out of things to do or say. So I basically, right after lunch on Friday, but we do provide lunch on Friday, by the way. So right after lunch on Friday, we'll have a room set aside for all the college students. And Joe will be putting together a little 3-hour. We talked about maybe doing a round table or doing a panel discussion, or maybe have a couple of people speak for 20 or 30 minutes and then have a panel discussion, but on topics that are relevant to college students. And I think that'll be something new that we haven't done. And like I said, those people are paying $100 each, the college students, and they need to get something for their $100. They're not getting CEUs. So we're going to be doing that.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a good plan. And it'd be interesting to see how it works out.
So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You talk about growing spats. I think those are the types of things we're going to be doing to grow. We've talked about it several times on the committee, and do we want to try to get 500 people down here? And that's all fine. If 500 people come, we can accommodate that. But I don't want to get hung up on numbers. We have our break even number that we need to meet, but anything above that is great. And we just want to have a more about quality than quantity.
I gotcha. Very cool. Okay. Now, as I talked about, I would like to bring my family down. I think they'd really enjoy. Sure. Why is South Padre Island a good place for athletic trainers to come, to bring their families, to kind of double up the vacation and learning opportunity?
Right. Well, I mean, if you've never been to South Padre Island, it's a great place to come for a family. I mean, everything's down there is family oriented. And I could go down the list of things. I mean, they have all the typical beach stuff. They have the dolphin watch tours. They have the jet skis. They have parasailing. They have fishing trips if you want to do that. There's a really nice golf course across the bay in Port Isabel or in Laguna Vista if you want to play golf. Obviously the beach. It's everything there is geared towards vacation. So most of the people that come that are regulars, that's what they come and bring their families, get a room. The family goes to the beach. They go, catch the speakers. And then, there's plenty of time. We allow plenty of time for them to enjoy that aspect of the conference, you have Schlitterbahn has a big water park down there now. It's been there for quite a while, but the Schlitterbahn water park is there, and it's a lot of people go to that. We do sell tickets, discount tickets to Schlitterbahn at the registration desk. So we usually sell around probably 100 tickets for Friday and Saturday. So, there's just a lot of stuff to do, and they can go, you can leave your family at the hotel. They can either do the pool or the beach or whatever. There's a lot of t-shirt shops, things like that. So a lot of stuff to do at the island.
Now, I have been to South Padre Island. We went several times as a kid just for a vacation, but never been to the South Padre Athletic Trainer Seminar. And so it'll be kind of cool for me to go back and, see some of the places that I have been before.
Sure.
So, all right. Well, what else do you got about spats?
Like I said, we just try to put together a quality program. I know we opened registration up, and I'll kind of address some of the stuff that's been going on with that. We opened that up last night. there were a couple of little hiccups. I forgot to post the how much it's going to cost on the website. So a lot of people are saying, well, how much is it going to cost? And so I had to go back and throw that up on the website. But I can tell that right now if you want me to, the sure. cost. So this year we're charging $200 for athletic trainers. We're going to charge $250 for other allied healthcare professionals. That would be PTs, OTs, PTAs, nurses, things like that. And we do have a few that come. They're $250. Sometimes we have coaches that want to come. We charge coaches $200 as well. Then college students are charged $100. The early bird, which is what those prices are, ends May 27th. So you still have a lot of time to get that in. May 27th, those prices will increase by $25 up to the on-site registration. So after May 27th, all the way through on-site, those prices will be add $25 to that.
Gotcha. All right, so Casey Powell, working down there, we're pretty close to you in mm-hmm. Corpus. He said, it's 15, about 15 CEUs. That's what you anticipate, right?
That's what we're shooting for, yes. And maybe four of those for certified athletic trainers. Four of those will be evidence-based. And so for certified, it would be 11 Category A and four EBP. And then for licensed, it would be 15 for your license.
Gotcha.
But like I said, I'm really hesitant to say, yes, this is what it's going to be until we get official confirmation from the BOC. So just so people know, that is what we're waiting on. We got to get official. We can't use – it's really, you know, just a real quick thing about that. The BOC basically changed the way that to become an accredited provider – an approved provider. And the hoops that you have to jump through to get that designation now are pretty significant. And so we've still got a couple of hoops to jump through, but we're right there towards the end. We anticipate that everything's going to be approved. So just so everybody knows that. Once we get our official approval from the BOC, those numbers will be put up. You're going to get this many hours, this many of Category A, this many EVP, that kind of stuff. Okay. That's why I haven't got the schedule posted online as well. I know a lot of people, their school district requires them to show a schedule, but I put in the email that I sent out to everybody that went last year, I added a flyer, and hopefully that's enough. I can put that flyer up online too if I need to.
Oh, no, we're all right. Okay, well, I think that's it. I know Casey was saying that he just went through all those hoops, and it is quite a lot. And I know last year with the sports medicine update that I first started doing the live broadcast at a conference with, that it was, I think Friday was when they were doing the EBP session, or maybe right. It was Monday, and then it was the Friday before where they finally got the approval for it. And so sometimes it just takes them a long, long time to work through those.
Yeah, so. we submitted our stuff a couple of weeks ago, and they got back to us really fast, actually. But it was with all the stuff that was wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like the very next day, they said, well, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. And so we've spent the last week Natalie and Stephanie have spent the last week kind of cleaning that all up and trying to make sure, because ultimately, if you're going to pay $200 to come down, I want to make sure that you're getting what you pay for, you know, and I don't want any surprises where somebody said, well, I thought I was getting 15 and we only got approved for 14. And they could throw that wrench in there, you know, and I don't want to, so there's no definite number of hours right now. I'm just telling you what we are shooting for.
Gotcha. All right. So if someone wants to contact you to find out more, or maybe to find out more about the conference or to register, where are they going to do that?
You can go to the website. It's www.vatargv.org. VataRGV.org. Did you get that?
Yep. Valley Athletic Trainers Association, Rio Grande Valley.
Right, exactly. VADARGV.org. And you can just click on the SPATS tab, and all the links are there to the register. There's a link to the hotels. I don't know if anybody's watching this and they tried to look at the hotels. I got a couple of emails that, A, the dates on the hotels are wrong. So people catch that before even I thought I had gone through and gotten everything, but I forgot to change the dates to this year's dates on the hotels. But I've got all that fixed this morning. So everything should be correct. Registration is real easy. It's all online. You can pay with a credit card and be registered immediately, or you can register and choose check, and your registration will be pending, but you will show up in our system. So I encourage anybody that is planning on coming to SPATS to go ahead and go through the registration process, even if you're waiting on a check from your school district, because a lot of people tend to wait until the last minute. We're going to be doing a lot of things this year differently. On our EBPs, the BOC requires us to have a sign-in sheet or a list of attendees that attended that one specific talk. And so this year, what we're going to be doing is scanning barcodes on the name badges of the people that are in those sessions. And so in order to get those name badges printed, it's really important that everybody register kind of early. Even if you're going to pay by check, even if you're going to bring a check and pay the day of, go ahead and register beforehand. I would encourage everybody to do that.
All right. In case you couldn't tell, I enjoy technology. So I'll be interested to see that, because I'm always trying to figure out new things. So I want to see how you guys take attendance with QR codes. So
yes, the company that we use to do our online registration, they have that capability. So we're trying to look at buying some handheld scanners and scanning those barcodes into an Excel spreadsheet. So we'll have an attendance roster that we can send to BOC. If people don't know, the BOC, we have to send an attendance roster to BOC every year. And I know a lot of people, our certificate is an honor-based system. Everybody kind of knows what that is. If you know, you put the number of hours you actually attended on your certificate. Mm-hmm. And well, on the EBPs, for example, if you did not go to one of the EBP sessions, but on your certificate you said you did, right? And then you get audited by the BOC. The BOC, this happened this year to one of our attendees. The BOC actually looks at the list that we sent them and compares it with that person's name to see if they actually went to that EBP session. And then they contact that person directly and said, you're not on the attendance list for that session. So the BOC actually looks at that stuff. I know a lot of people say, they just send it in and then it gets put on a shelf somewhere. They're actually cross-referencing all that. And so the ones that get audited are actually they're looking to see that you attended.
Gotcha.
So that's just making it easier for us doing the QR codes.
Yeah, it's similar here. The reason that we can give the credit for the live show only is because this program that we run it through tracks the seconds that you're logged in. So if you're not logged in, then I don't have any way to show that, you know, you're accountable for that time. So I always got to make sure you're logged in live. All right. Well,
we've already done an hour. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's that time. So I'm going to kind of wrap it up here. Sportshealth.com/SMB, which quite a few of your people down there in the Valley have won the gift card. So you'll check that out, sportshealth.com/SMB. Obviously, the more people that we have sign up, the more that it shows that the listeners are active and involved and engaged. So continue to sign up each month. This month, it's Bubba. Last month, the password was SPATS. That was in February. But in March, the keyword is Bubba. In April, the keyword is Frigo. Frio Hydration is the official hydration equipment provider for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Make sure you mention the Sports Medicine Broadcast whenever you email Robbie at getfrio@friohydration.com. And like I said, we'll be broadcasting live at Spats this summer. So hopefully I'll get to meet up with each of you that have been part of the podcast and that are coming down there. And it'll be a very fun experience.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We have not done anything like that before. So hopefully that all works out for both of us.
Hopefully. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/SPATS, S-P-A-T-S. That's where this episode will be. Almost every single Wednesday, we do the live shows. And then on Twitter, I am PHS Sports Med. PHS Sports Med, that's me on Twitter. So for Jeremy, Jeff down there in the valley, and all the live people logged in, Carlos Presas, Jason, Dennis Walker, Casey Powell, Blake George, Nia LeBlanc, Melissa Long, and Tomami Lee. Thanks for joining us, and that is a wrap.